Good morning, and welcome to the Merchants Bancshares fourth quarter 2014 earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Michael Tuttle, President and Chief Executive Officer of Merchants Bancshares. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Denise, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the call. I'm sure we're going to assume at this stage that you've had a chance to review the press release that we sent out yesterday afternoon after the markets closed, and had a chance to familiarize yourself with the material in there. I'm joined here this morning by the President of Merchants Bank, Jeff Hesling, and our CFO, Tom Maseko. And you'll be hearing from both of them in just a couple of minutes here. Maybe in summary, we'll start off by just saying 2014 certainly marked the completion of a year that had several important transitions for our company. The net impact of all those transitions put us in a much better position as we have entered 2015. But there were some real and opportunity costs associated with those transitions that negatively impacted 2014. Having said that, as we start 2015, we think we're very well positioned to fund growth in our loan book, and we got off to certainly a good start in the fourth quarter of 2014, and Jeffrey will give you more color on what we see happening in 2015 for that segment of our balance sheet. We have, in the process of creating that liquidity and the funding capability, we have reduced our exposure to price volatility in the investment portfolio. And that also, again, had some real cost or some opportunity cost associated with that that impacted us in 2014. We have completed, as we've talked about in all the quarters leading up to this in 2014, we completed a core conversion. There was a significant cost related to that. But we believe now that we have a very scalable platform that will allow us to make some significant service enhancements and efficiencies that will come online during the course of 2015. It will take some time to realize all those, but we're certainly excited about those opportunities as well. And finally, we have a management team in place that's committed to and excited about growing the company and the opportunities that are in front of them. Now, I'm going to turn the call over at this point to Tom to give you a quick review of the quarter and the year that's just ended. And then Tom will in turn turn the call over to Jeffrey, who will certainly be more than happy to give you some insights into what we see happening in 2015. This is Tom's first call with us. He joined us in November, so we'd like to welcome Tom onto the call here, and take it away.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning. I'm excited to be part of the Merchants team. The company reported earnings in the fourth quarter of $2.5 million, or $0.40 per basic share, and earnings for the year of $12.13 million, or $1.92 per basic share. As Mike mentioned, the company completed the core conversion, resulting in pre-tax expense of $489,000 for the fourth quarter and $1.32 million for the year. Management severance costs were in $7,000 quarter, $925,000 for the year. Combined, these expenses resulted in a reduction of $0.09 for the fourth quarter and $0.23 for the year after tax. For the quarter, the company's ending loan balance increased $26 million. The loan growth is a significant departure from the first three quarters. The originations were late in the fourth quarter, which will have a positive impact heading into 2015. Average loans were flat on a linked. Asset quality remains strong. As pristine as the credit quality ratios are, they improved slightly during the year. The company's provision for loan loss, $150,000 for the year. Improved asset quality, accompanied by modest loan growth of $16 million for the year, required no additional provision for the fourth quarter. At year-end, the allowance for loan losses represented 1% of total loans, as compared to 1.03% at December 31st, 2013. The coverage ratio has continued to rise on a year-over-year basis. Total customer funding, defined as total deposits and customer repurchase agreements, increased by $75 million in the fourth quarter and decreased slightly over a year-over-year basis. The increase from the third quarter to the fourth quarter was due to seasonal municipal cash flows. More importantly, non-maturity deposits increased $27 million for the fourth quarter and $79 million for the year. As time deposits matured, the funds continued to go into money market accounts. Average deposits for the year increased $21 million. The increase in commercial demand deposit accounts paced the decline in the time deposits. The company reported a net interest margin of 2.93% for the fourth quarter of 2014, down from 3.03% in the third quarter of 2014. Interest earning cash increased $52 million prior quarter, due again to the seasonal municipal inflows. The cash level resulted in 7 of the 10 basis points decline. The company reported a net interest margin of 3.03% in the year ended December 31, 2014, as compared to 3.15% year ended December 31, 2013. Average interest earning cash balances $50 million for the year due to the decision to reduce price volatility risk and lower the average investment portfolio by $96 million. The company's net interest income remained constant linked quarters. For the year, the company's net interest income decreased to $46.4 million from $48.9 million. The company's non-interest income was $2.8 million for the fourth quarter of 2014, from $2.9 million in the third quarter. The decline is a continuing trend in overdraft income. The year, the company's non-interest income was flat at $11.6 million. Excluding the non-reoccurring gains and losses listed in the press release, core non-interest income increased $454,000. This increase is attributable to trust fees, BOLI income, and service charges. This was offset by reductions in debit cards and overdraft fees. The company's non-interest expense in the fourth quarter of 2014 was $11.21 million. Attracting conversion and severance costs would bring the quarter to $10.3 million, compared to the third quarter normalized expense of $9.9 million. The increase in expenses included compensation-related expenses, higher medical claims, and we incurred some fraud losses. The annual expense of $42.21 million was an increase of $2.68 million compared to 2013. This increase is primarily comprised of $925,000 of severance costs, $1.32 million of system conversion-related expenses, benefit costs, and lower deferred costs due to lower levels of loan originations in 2014. For the year, the effective tax rate was 23% during the first 23%. During the first quarter of 2014, the accounting for investments in qualified affordable housing projects was adopted. This resulted in reducing non-interest expense and reporting that expense in the tax line. This resulted in the tax rate for 2013 to increase from 21%. The reduction in 2014 is due to a portion of the conversion costs were tax deductible and larger low-income housing tax credits. I will now turn it over to Jeffrey Hestlink, President of Merchants Bank, to discuss the outlook for 2015.
Thank you, Tom, and hello, everyone. Well, as you've heard so far, the investments we made in 14 provide us a platform for growth, and we expect to see that growth in 2015. We believe we're well positioned for solid growth in our loan businesses and our fee businesses. To provide a little more detail on that, our outlook for loan growth is 5 to 6% for the year. It's going to be driven by commercial and, to a lesser extent, government loans. We were encouraged by the solid commercial real estate growth we achieved in the fourth quarter and believe we can continue to have success into 2015. We enter the year with a solid pipeline of commercial and government loan opportunities, and we've restructured and changed the composition of our commercial lending teams, which we also think is going to provide some enhancement to our results. And last, as we mentioned last quarter, our balance sheet is positioned for some duration extension, and it's our preference to extend the duration in the loan portfolio because that allows us to deepen valuable commercial relationships and acquire valuable commercial relationships. So our balance sheet capacity allows us the ability to offer competitive fixed rates to our commercial customers, and this capacity contributes to our loan growth expectations. We have a new approach to our residential mortgage business that we also think provides us some nice opportunity. As you know, historically, we've generated shorter amortization, low loan-to-value portfolio loans to our branch network. In late 2014, we transitioned to a mortgage originator delivery model, and we have plans to expand our product offerings. In 2015, we expect to offer secondary market saleable mortgage loans as well as our portfolio loan products. The new delivery model and our enhanced product offering, we think, will result in the reduction in the rate of decline of our portfolio residential mortgage loans, as well as provide us income opportunity for in the sold loans. Investment portfolio will remain relatively stable. It may bump up a little bit, and we don't envision a material increase in our funding base. So from a margin perspective, the net effect of deploying cash in a loan portfolio, we believe, will allow that margin to stabilize in the 3% range over the course of 2015. Have a nice opportunity to grow our fee business this year as well, we think. We anticipate 5 to 6% growth in the non-interest income. This will be driven by our trust business, higher net debit card income, which will primarily be the result of lower processing fees that we experience with our new core provider. And last, the income generated from sold mortgage loans. Non-interest expense for the year will run close to the normalized fourth quarter level, and we expect our tax rate in 15 to be constant with the 2014 tax rate. In summary, we're excited for our prospects for the year. We plan to grow. We need to grow. We think we will. The growth plans will add some duration extension, as I mentioned, primarily in loan portfolio. This means we'll give up some of the benefit we'd experience in rising rates. This is intentional, and their objective is to reduce our earnings exposure to stable or down rate environments. Again, I think the growth is going to build throughout the year with improvement in performance build throughout the year. We will be well positioned heading into 2016. I think I'm going to wrap there and maybe hand you over to Michael for some closing comments, and of course, happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, thank you, Jeffrey, and thank you, Tom. So I don't know that I have a whole heck of a lot to add there for you in terms of closing remarks on this, and we certainly are happy to take questions from those of you who have them out there. Again, we are feeling very good about the prospects for 15. It's time to move on from the transition. It doesn't mean the transitions are all necessarily completely done at this stage of the game. There'll be a little more of that continues through 15, but that also will provide some opportunities to build throughout the year. So we'll stop there. And Denise, if folks have questions, we're happy to take those now.
Very good, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. If your question has been addressed, you may withdraw from the queue by pressing star, then two. And our first question will come from Alex Twerdahl of Sandler O'Neill. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Alex.
Good morning, Alex.
Hey, Jeffrey, you said 5-6% loan growth for the entire year. Is that expected to be relatively constant across the year, or did some of the accelerated closings or some of the closings in December, will that cause maybe loan growth to be like more backloaded?
You know what? It's probably going to be it's going to be generally flat. You may see a little bit more in the second and third quarters, a little bit less in the first and fourth quarters.
Okay. Great, thanks. And then I think on last quarter's call, Mike, you mentioned, when talking about M&A, you said it was on the table, but probably not until, maybe another 9 months to a year out, just until you get the conversion, all taken care of and everything behind you. But obviously some things have changed in the fourth quarter. Does that time frame change at all for you guys when you're ready to do a deal?
Well, let me put it this way, Alex. We have ongoing discussions with a number of parties out there, some more productive than others at this stage of the game. I think the earliest we'd see anything done would be the third quarter of this year. I don't think we'd get anything done before then. Certainly this year, we think there's a good prospect we could get something done this year, yes.
And then can you talk a little bit about what you would look for in a target out there, bank versus fee-based businesses, and what some of your financial hurdles might a deal have to clear for it to be attractive to you guys?
Yeah. Generally for us, what we're trying to accomplish if we make an acquisition, from a bank standpoint, what we're looking for is we're looking for an asset generation platform. That's first and foremost, primary objective there. Certainly some geographic diversity would be something else that would be of appeal to us. And then obviously just the chance to add scale to the platform that we've built. Those are the three major criteria we're looking for out there. We're looking to buy a business we can build. That's really important to us, and we're so in large part we're looking for a management team that's committed to being part of that and building, that has good credit skills and discipline, and wants to be part of that. Those are all. The primary pieces out there that we evaluate when we're looking at any potential opportunities. Asset management firms are certainly something that would have some appeal to us as well. We have a nice trust division that's been growing nicely for us. We think it's got a strong position in our market here. And certainly adding some more capacity there and maybe expanding that product line some would certainly have appeal to us as well, definitely.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
The next question will come from Travis Lan of KBW. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Travis.
Hey, Travis.
Jeffrey, I think you mentioned this in your prepared remarks, but could you just talk a little bit about your deposit growth outlook for 2015? I think I may have missed it.
Yeah, sure. We've got a lot of cash, and the focus is going to be on the asset generation. We don't envision pushing too hard on the deposit generation side. We do expect some growth in the business DDA, and we've seen some migration out of our retail CDs, and that may continue. We'll pick up hopefully a little business in our government business, pick up some funding in our government business, but not a lot of growth expected there when you balance all those out.
Okay, all right, that's helpful. And then the reserve seems very conservative for the quality of credit on the balance sheet. So as we go into 2015, you know, do you think there's any room for negative provisioning as we go forward?
This is Tom. Hi, Travis.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Good. What we plan on doing is probably providing less than what will be needed for the loan growth because we, with this loan growth, we would assume that we were in our past history, we would provide accordingly. Going forward, we'll be providing, you know, the provision that's required based on the asset quality levels and the quality of the loans that we're putting out, which are all high quality. So I don't think we're going to need dollar for dollar that we've done in the past. We'll be more efficient in providing the levels we feel are necessary.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. And then Tom, could you quantify at all the expense impact of the quarter's fraud loss and the elevated healthcare costs? Just trying to get, I mean, I know the 10.3 is a good number, but just a little bit better core run rate going forward.
The medical claims were really in the fourth quarter, and that was due to a few specific cases that we do not anticipate to see again in 2015. But they were an issue, and when you're self-insured, that does happen from time to time. But we also have stopgap just to protect us from that happening again, and if that were to happen for these specific cases. But I think we could say it was a couple hundred thousand that we had to cover for that. And the fraud, that's something that happens with these large retail cases that everyone is aware of that are out there, and that was a little higher than what we anticipate, and I'd say that's probably in a 100,000 range of more than what we would anticipate normally. But I think we all know that there are a few retail frauds that have been announced lately that caused that number to be higher than what we anticipate in the future. We know they can happen again in the future. We hope that it's communicated on a quicker manner, and we will not have as much fraud in that case.
Gotcha.
On that same vein, Travis, I think we were doing the conversion put us at a little bit of a disadvantage, or doing a little bit of catch up on some of that as well. So
and that's why that fell into the fourth quarter
after the
conversion.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That's helpful. And then last one just for me, Michael, could you talk a big picture about your own profitability targets and what you think the bank's earnings power could be, or maybe just a different way is, you know, the timeline or what you think needs to be done to bring the bank back towards that 1% ROA level from where you are today?
So it's going to take some time, Travis. The build through 15 will help put us on a trajectory that'll have us start targeting something closer to maybe a 90 basis point ROA, and that'll be the hope that's what we're going to target for a run rate, coming out of 15 on our way into 16, but it's going to take some good execution on all fronts to get us to that level as we finish this year and start into next year. We can have another year on the loan front like we had in 14, being that far behind for the year. At the same time, we were reducing the investment portfolio, the kind of the double whammy of that obviously, you know, weighed heavily on us last year. And we're not going to have that type of result this year. I'm quite confident we won't see that. So it's going to be a build this year. But expectations, we ought to be targeting something close to 90 basis points as we come into 16, as we start into 16. That'd be the expectation.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you guys very much.
Yep.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. The next question will come from Matthew Breese of Stern AG. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Matt.
Good morning, Matt.
I just wanted to touch on the mortgage banking operation. Can you give us an idea of what your generation capabilities are? How much of that will be more conventional product that'll be for sale? And, can we comment on, what the impact will be on non-interest income, what your expectations are?
Sure, sure. So we're building this out, Matt. We don't have the we're not set up to sell into the secondary market yet, and it'll take some time to get there. So the majority of the generation for 15 will be in the portfolio loan product, and as I mentioned, I think we can generate some more loans there and reduce the rate of decline of our portfolio business, our spread business. In terms of the entry into the saleable market business, you know, that'll get itself ramped up in the second half of the year, and you know, it's a $250,000 fee opportunity for us this year, and you know, we can build it into we can build it yet more into future years, we think.
You said $250,000 for the year.
Right.
Okay.
And you'll see that in the latter half of the year.
Okay. And then you also mentioned that there was a restructuring on your commercial lending team. Can you go into a little bit more depth as to what happened, was there a net add there, or just a general reshuffling of personnel? What happened?
The intent there was, I gave you an outlook for loan growth that was significantly higher than we achieved in the past year, and I wanted to help you understand the factors that we thought were driving our outlook. And there are three factors. One is that we have a much better pipeline of commercial and government business. And the second one you're asking about is our teams. We restructured the teams, and we changed the composition. We changed the makeup of them and the people that are on those teams. And frankly, we think that we're well positioned there. We think we'll get a little bit more out of both the structure we have. So that is the people that are in management positions and also the composition of the teams.
Got it.
And
okay.
And the last piece we have is I mentioned, you know, we have this capacity to offer some duration extension, so we can offer fixed rates in the marketplace, and there's some appeal there. And that certainly impacted our success in the fourth quarter 14, and we think it'll have the same effect into 2015.
So if you think about the composition of your loan book and how much of that is variable rate, you know, what would you be willing to change that number to, if we can think about it that way?
So what's our appetite for the we're modeling that out, actually, and because it's a trade-off, right? We're going to give up, you know, we're well positioned for rising rates now. We're going to give up some of that benefit as we book these fixed-rate commercial loans. So I don't know if we're pinned down on the answer to that quite yet, Matt. We're actually modeling it, but we could see in the range of $25 to $40 million, maybe, in capacity for fixed rate commercial loans. The ballpark for you there.
No, that's helpful. Okay, and then my last question. Obviously, Michael, you are now the CEO of the holding company, and Jeffrey, you're the CEO of the bank. I just wanted to get a sense for, is this the first step for Jeffrey taking a more prominent role for the holding company as well? And Michael, if that's the case, you know, over what time frame do you think your role will take another step back?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think I have a good answer for you right now, Matt, to be perfectly honest with you on that. We like the arrangement we have here right now, and the board is supportive of this, and we think we got some more good work to do together here, and are looking forward to doing that for the foreseeable future here. But situations and circumstances will dictate, you know, how that might evolve here over time. But uh, we're we're relatively optimistic we're going to find some good opportunities to expand our business geographically and with some new partners out there, and looking forward to working together to make that happen. How's that for an answer?
That's great. I in no way do I mean to imply that we're pushing you out.
I didn't take it that way, Matt. No.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you. Thanks, Matt.
And again, it is star one to ask a question. Our next question will come from John Burke of Amica Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, John.
Hey, John.
What's the assumption or the rate assumption behind the stabilization of the net interest margin in the 3 range? Is that all just being able to redeploy the cash into loans, or is there, again, this morning we're seeing, pressure on rates. Is there an assumption that, there's some increase in rates at the end of the year or whatnot?
No, so that outlook, you're absolutely right. The outlook we talked about there, the net effect of it is a more earning assets and a higher percentage of those earning assets being in loans, funding that loan growth with cash. So that margin stabilizing in the 3% range for the year, that's the assumption on deploying cash in the loan portfolio. Of course, there's a rate assumption behind what that loan volume comes on at and how that investment portfolio behaves. And that's for rates to be stable and certainly not down. So you're right. If there are reductions in interest rates, that will pressure that margin and that outlook that we provided.
And I add that in this forecast, we do not have rising rates to answer that question. We went off of a flat rate scenario.
It's a stable rate, right?
Where we are. Correct.
All right, that's helpful. On the loan growth expectations for 15, coming off where we were in 14, Jeff, you spoke to some of the reasons why. One of the things you didn't say anything about is the competitive environment. And, going back a couple quarters ago, you guys had kind of peeled back from the market because things, for lack of better terms, got just too hot and just too tight on spreads. Has that changed at all, or is this loan growth just totally via, the duration extension and the mortgage opportunity?
So the competitive environment has not changed. If it's changed at all, it's become even more competitive, right? There is a lot of pressure for asset generation. Our approach is not going to change. We will not compromise the credit standards. If we have an opportunity that meets our credit standards, we are willing to compete on price and particularly on with fixed rate offerings that may have some appeal. So your points are valid. It's a higher growth rate than we achieved in the past, and the markets are as competitive or even more competitive. So we will have to perform at a higher and different level than we have in the past, and that's our plan.
So just for a generic, and I don't want to say generic, but just for a newer fixed rate product that you would put on the commercial side, how much pickup is there on the loan yield relative to, say, maybe your 381 portfolio yield that you put in there in the fourth quarter?
How much pickup in the yield to? Please repeat that. I want to make sure I understand it so I can answer it clearly.
Well, I think we went through all of last year where new loans you were putting on were dilutive to your portfolio yield.
Right. They'll continue to be dilutive. Marginal loan rates are going to be below average rates in all sectors, even in the stable rate environment. So, they'll continue to be dilutive, and we'll see reductions in loan yields throughout the year. Slower than we saw last year, we believe.
Okay. And so it is really just
obviously
the,
Yeah, the mix has an impact on that, right, John? If, you know, the mix of fixed and variable that we add on has an impact on what our marginal loan yields come on at. We are increasing the mix of fixed rates, which is accretive to the marginal rates that we're booking.
Yep.
That makes sense.
And then on the conversion, which is, you know, done and behind you, and you field a ton of questions last year about what are, you know, potential cost efficiencies, and I think you used the term unknown knowns to know that, you know, things would potentially, you know, free up on the cost savings. Are you still in that unknown known period right now, or are you starting to get comfortable with the fact that you will get, you know, cost efficiencies out of the system here in 15?
This is Tom. I think we're going to have some efficiencies, and we've done an analysis to compare the costs of our prior core system versus our new core system. And there are some savings, but there still are more efficiencies that we plan on achieving in 2015 as we get to know the system better. And we're going to add additional products. They have other services that they offer that will also add some efficiencies. So our cost structure should see some of that savings going forward. But we haven't put too much of those savings into the plan for 2015 as of right now.
Okay.
Because we're just not sure where they're going to fall. But we do plan on reviewing all of the areas that are impacted from this conversion and work to gain those efficiencies.
Okay.
We have some real benefit, as I mentioned, on the debit card processing line. That's a real number, and we're starting to see that, and we'll see that. We have not yet done process improvement work yet, and that will happen once, you know, get more use of this system. We'll look for some opportunities there, and we'll certainly make you aware of them when and if we find some.
Okay. All right, then last one, you know, Mike, you know, and just, you know, what your role has kind of moved into now is, it seems to be, you know, successfully, you know, spending time on looking at some different avenues for growth. You know, you mentioned some of the reasons already about geographic diversity and assets and whatnot. Is there anything that you could offer financially, you know, what you want a deal to do, not just maybe changing your mix or your geographic, but you know, ROE or ROA, or that, you know, that you think a deal could do, because that's, you know, from our standpoint, just trying to, you know, figure out, you know, if it's payback period or, you know, what the metrics you would look at when you're, you know, when you're going into this process.
Sure. You know, for us, John, we like to limit the, you know, the dilutive effect of it. But frankly, again, I would say most of the deals we're going to want to look at, we're going to be a lot more focused on the growth potential and the upside and how fast we can realize that and what kind of contribution that can bring to us. So we'll be less focused on the immediate impact and more focused on the growth potential and the opportunity that comes with it. And trying to measure the upside to that, because that would be our expectation, where I think we're going to see the biggest benefit out of most of the opportunities we're going to look at. So it's a little bit hard for me to give you a specific metric on that basis. You know, I would say, you know, most of the deals we're probably going to look at are going to have a heavy stock component to them. So we will have to issue shares as part of that deal. And so there could be some near-term dilution, modest dilution to start out. But the expectation will be built around the build and the opportunity to grow.
Okay. And is there, you know, you kind of talked in the past about different, you know, opportunities as far as, you know, things that would, you know, cause for you to go in and kind of, a lot of cost saves and cleanup, and that maybe gets you rolling down the ball of having to, you know, do one of those every 2 years or something like that. But or the different opportunity of just being well-run organization, kind of almost merger of equals type thing. Have you kind of philosophically made a decision on that? On what route you're going to go down there?
You know, we really like the opportunity to grow, John. It's a lot more appealing to us. Frankly, buying something to take it apart is not the most appealing route from our perspective. And frankly, we don't think it serves the long-term interests of our shareholders best either. They may have some short benefits that come out of it. And as you point out, you know, that's a pattern that has to repeat itself with some frequency to keep gaining that benefit. But we really like the opportunity to grow something. You know, the MOE prospect is certainly something that that has some appeal. Obviously, those are harder deals to pull together and integrate. There's a lot of negotiation that has to go on over the structure and the form on that. Again, I wouldn't rule that out as something that we wouldn't give serious consideration to, and we'll explore as part of this process. And utilizing the relative strengths of those organizations. But for us, near term, right now, we're most heavily focused on finding an opportunity that we think has significant growth potential in relatively short term. We think that's taking the strength of our balance sheet and our credit and exporting that to another market where we can leverage that further.
Very good. I appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing what happens here.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
And showing no additional questions, this will conclude the question and answer session. I would like to hand the conference back over to Michael Tuttle for his closing remarks.
Great. Thank you, Denise. Again, we appreciate everyone making the time to visit with us this morning. We certainly look forward to reporting to you in the quarters ahead with what we expect to be some significant progress and improving results that we expect to happen throughout the year. So we're excited about that, and we'll look forward to visiting with you after the first quarter results are ready. And thank you for your time this morning.
And thank you, sir. To access a digital replay of this conference, you may dial 1-877-344-7529 or 1-412-317-0088, beginning at approximately 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time today. You will be prompted to enter a conference number, which will be 100-57162. Please record your name and company when joining. The conference has now concluded. We thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.